My name is Jeffrey Davis, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. Today, in the Money Matters Radio Network studios, I have a co-host sitting in. We have Peter Meyerson from Cohn, Raznick, and Meyerson.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Good, thank you. Do you want to introduce our reporter today?
Yeah, our reporter today is Greg Stoller from Boston College. I have no idea what he's going to be talking about, but it'll always be interesting.
You really bring that edge with you, don't you, Peter? You're fired. Greg, nice to see you again.
Thank you, Jeffrey, I think.
What is our topic today?
We're going to talk about Cohan, Raznick, and Meyerson, LLP.
Like the dynamic law firm. Exactly. I don't know what we're going to talk about. That's how he does his meetings with clients. Peter, I got a problem. I don't know what we're going to talk about.
This is an ongoing diary of my planning for the fall business plan course at Boston College.
Great.
This is probably the fourth or fifth segment in terms of finding the best 20 ideas literally worldwide in terms of something our MBAs can chew on for the fall. Just to remind our listeners, this is the MBA course where our full-time MBA students in the second year of the program working in teams are entrusted with writing a full-length business plan, either on an idea they bring to the course or ones that I find for them. And vis-a-vis our segment, I start the intake process on February 1st of every
year. I'm already ready to debate and I don't even know the subject. How long is a full-length business plan?
So this has been, you and I have talked about this on air before.
You know me, I'm the page and a half business plan guy.
Exactly. And we are on the exact opposite end of the spectrum so as to make a point. So we're probably in the 30 plus 40 page range, and the idea being that for the average MBA candidate, I believe and the school believes and all of our mentors believe that it's important to put them through the paces of literally bringing things out to two or three decimal places, whereas in your career, Jeffrey, now that you've been out in the business world for about 10 minutes, you probably don't need literally half or even a third of that length, et cetera, to achieve the same end result.
Take action. Action revision, right?
Do you mind?
You're here in the studio. I don't mind if you talk.
I figured. Okay. Do you aim those business plans at venture capitalists, at angel investors, or banks, or who's
so?
The same
it's
for?
A fair question. My goal is to cast as wide a net as possible for MBA students. The rationale being that in the second year of our full time program, 90% of the classwork is elective. So my goal is to find amongst the 20 ideas, and I usually give them 30 options. So we have 30 presentations, 5 minutes followed by 5 minutes of Q&A. These are jury panels, et cetera. And from those 30, we have the students select the most viable 20. But I try and have 10% of the ideas come from nonprofit. Another few percent of the ideas come from outside of the United States. We deal with products. We deal not as much in services, but high tech, low tech. My point being that I want the average MBA student to be able to custom craft his or her experience in the second year of the program, which is why I start, you know, for a course that begins in September on February 1st in order to get as much diversity as possible in the 30 presentations that we're going to have.
Okay.
So here, this is the point of the segment, is that this year I've tried to take a new tack. I have been aggressively engaging in social media outreach. I've never done this before. I've taught this course for 12 years. I am now tweeting on a regular basis. I'm blogging on a regular basis. I've created Facebook sites. I've created websites. I've been reading and hearing about social media for years, and I have to tell you, it absolutely works. It's fascinating.
Explain. Give us examples.
So, you know, with Twitter, you know, you have to start.
Twitter's out of business.
The exact. Twitter's out of business. A little bird in the peanuts, right? You have to start with, yourself, and you have one follower. You're ultimately following yourself, and you've got to build that up organically. I've already hit the 40 mark, and I'm probably well on my way, hopefully, to getting 50 or 60 followers. Facebook, I could barely spell Facebook when I first started doing this. I've now linked all of these sites together. When I blog, when you press send, it automatically will push that content out to Facebook and out to Twitter automatically. You really create your own little social network that one little push can now be seen by multiple people in multiple venues or by different people in multiple venues. If some people are Twitter folks, they'll read the tweet. If some people are Facebook people, they'll see the post. If people want to log on to your blog or, you know, on email on the blog, they'll get through an RSS feed, they'll get the blog. It's a really fascinating sort of live case study for me that this stuff actually works.
Wow. Very good. Now, are most of the people you're tweeting with students?
Initially, they are students. I have experimented by having a couple of professionals come on to my Twitter feed just to see if the response is going to be different. I'm pleasantly surprised that the response from the average MBA student or the average professional is identical. The amount of times, you know, what's interesting about this technology, and I'm enjoying it from the inside looking out, is that you can track all of the statistics. So I can tell you, and we've done this for Radio Entrepreneurs. Jeffrey has proudly proclaimed that we have millions and millions of followers, and he sent me links of where those followers are coming from, how frequently they log on to our Radio Entrepreneur site. I'm engaging. I'm sort of using you as a case study myself, and I'm now actively looking.
Or you.
But seriously, looking at Twitter's data, looking at my blog's data, and it's fascinating that the response rate from professionals or students is the same because, let's face it, people are people.
I want to remind everyone that we're on Radio Entrepreneurs and we're interviewing Greg Stoller from Boston College.
Very good. Greg, you know, this whole thing about Facebook, as you said, the millions of listeners. I mean, I think people forget. If I have, let's say, approximately 2,000 plus on the Radio Entrepreneurs Facebook, that's not the network that we're totally connected to.
Exactly.
It's the network that those 2,000 people are connected to.
And that's my epiphany.
So yeah, I've seen statistics that say those 2,000 people that we've connected with are connected to over 13 million people. And that's why they call it viral marketing.
Right. It's really, you know, it just goes to show that what you learned as a kid, that you should never say anything bad about people because you don't know who you're talking to, is so true in social media. You should never tweet or mention somebody in a negative setting because, to your point, Jeffrey, it's not the people who you know are visiting these sites that you necessarily have to be worried about. And don't get me wrong, ticking off 2,000 people is bad enough, but it's the network effect of all those people have to say is, look at this idiot and what he or she said, and now, you know, it could be millions of people.
I've seen that experience. It's true. I don't like when people are saying to me, like, oh, my mother-in-law's coming over at 4 o'clock. Oh, here's the baby
just coughed
up its
I'm
food.
I'm on page 637 of a 900-page novel.
And
that's
they're telling
cares,
you everything
right?
they're doing minute by right. minute of the day. It's kind of obnoxious. I like to, you know, I did post something on the weekend as an example, which I thought was important. I was reading an Israeli newspaper about the Pope. And the Pope, within 12 hours of becoming Pope, reached out to the Israeli government. And I thought that was quite substantial.
I thought that was terrific. Yeah.
So I posted that because I thought that was a really good sign for both sides. But I mean, I don't generally do that type of stuff.
Right. So the other innovation that I'm trying in terms of planning for the course is I've had all 20 prospective leads that I've received so far actually submit a web survey to me. I want to know what their backgrounds are. I want to know if they've ever raised money before. I want to know what their plans are after they receive the business plan in terms of launching it. And the response from that has been refreshingly positive. So, you know, obviously we have a long way to go between now and September. And we've had people already who unfortunately have had sickness in the family or have received better offers in terms of they've gotten job transfers. So they've already pulled out. But I'm proud to say that we already have 15 or 16 promising leads. And I'm hoping that by the time we get to September, we're able to convert them to, you know, present in the course, and amongst the 20-odd presentations, really find 20 good ones.
Now, these are not all MBA students, or they're all MBA students as well?
I mean, for the leads, none of them is an MBA student. Despite, right. The people who are going to be doing the analytical work are all MBA students.
Right.
But so far, I have heard from a couple of MBA students. I mean, I will proudly tell you on air that I would love all 20 of these ideas to come from the MBA students themselves. I think that's a tall order, unless they've been working on these ideas for 6, 9, 12 months, etc. That's the average tenure of these, what I call outside ideas. But my objective is to get 20 of the best ones, regardless of their origin.
Do they have to start their own business, or can they? I'm sorry, Peter, I'll just ask one more. Or can they do? Can they also do, let's say, existing businesses? Look at those, too.
And that's my point, is that amongst the 30 presentations, I would say the 3 to 5 of them are student-originated ideas. The remainder of them are all what I call outside ideas, ones that I find. You have a universe of 29, 30, 28, call it whatever you want. Then amongst those 28, 29, or 30, we have the students select the most viable 20. Each student works on a single team of 4 to 6. And then that team works on a single business plan over a 3-month period.
I hope one of them is going to do it. One group's going to work on Radio Entrepreneurs.
I would love it.
You throw that out to one of them if they
Absolutely.
Want to take a look at it.
I think that's a great idea. I'm sort of interested in the source, though. The 30 plans that you're getting are from people who are.
So that's the $64,000 question. Each year, I have to literally recreate this from scratch. I've always hoped that there would be, you know, for example, Peter, in your world, that you could go back to the same law firm year after year and they could sponsor an idea. You can go to the same venture capital or the same bank every year. Unfortunately, I have yet to find someone who is that prolific in terms of having an unlimited supply of ideas. So in the case of a law firm, maybe they'll give an idea every second year, every third year. A venture capital firm might give it every
three years. You're giving law lawyers too much credit.
Way too much credit.
But my point being that you literally have to start from scratch. And just because somebody, you know, it's like the financial markets, right? Past performance is no indication of future results. You know, just because somebody had a great idea last year doesn't mean that they are necessarily going to have the wherewithal, either financially or creatively, to sponsor another idea.
No, what I was getting at is there are, you know, I see a million people who go to VCs and angels who don't have a clue what their business plan should look like, and it would seem to be a source.
And you'd think that was the case, but for some reason, either, you know, but I've gone like 0 for 15 by hitting, you know, venture capitalists and attorneys. Initially, I thought it was me. Like, what the heck am I doing wrong? Now I'm beginning to think that it's just the nature of either VCs don't want to give it to me because, I mean, even though they're going to maintain all IP rights, they figure it's too late or they want to have a right of first refusal. There are a plethora of reasons, but it's interesting. And the social media test, experiment, whatever you want to call it, has frankly been fascinating. So,
well, I think social media is just an interesting topic. Greg, if somebody wants to get hold of you, how would they do that?
Sure. My BC email address, which is gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu. That's G-R-E-G-O-R-Y dot S as in Sam, T-O-L-L-E-R dot the number 1 at BC as in Boston College dot edu.
Great. Again, this was Jeffrey Davis of MAGE with Peter Meyerson from Cohn Raznick Meyerson. We've been speaking with Gregory Stoller, and always very interesting, Greg, having you in the studio.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.